This is episode 20 of UFO Encounters. This week I'm reading from Christopher Knowles' book, UAPs and the Afterlife. How new disclosures support centuries of psychic and spiritual research. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such fascinating information that never makes it into the podcast. And here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I'll put a link to the book in the show notes. And I did seek permission to record the extract from the book, and the author kindly said yes. And so if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. So I'm going to be reading from chapter 1, and this section is titled Setting the Stage. So this is what Chris has written. Leslie Kane and Ralph Blumenthal didn't exactly blow the lid off United States governmental secrecy with respect to UAPs, but they did loosen it significantly with their December 2017 New York Times article, Glowing Auras and Black Money, the Pentagon's Mysterious UFO Program. They reveal an off-the-books program dedicated to concealing the enigma, quoting central players on the record for the first time. They interview Harold Puthoff, celebrated for his groundbreaking work in psychic phenomena. He speaks to our collective intellectual impotence in the face of UAP capabilities. Was sort of in the position of what would happen if you gave Leonardo da Vinci a garage door opener, said Puthoff, an engineer who has conducted research on extrasensory perception for the CIA. First of all, he tried to figure out what is this plastic stuff. He wouldn't know anything about electromagnetic signals involved or its function. 5.5 years later, on July 26, 2023, came the truly historic testimony, under oath, before the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability of David Grush, former National Reconnaissance Officer and lead investigator for the Pentagon's UAP Task Force. With high security clearance, Grush had interviewed more than 40 US government employees with direct knowledge of aspects of a secret, decades-long, UAP craft retrieval and reverse engineering program involving non-human intelligence and non-human biologics, that is, bodies. Though many remain sceptical, and a titanic battle now rages between government forces on both sides of the disclosure question, Grush's claims have resounded across the world. Pressures rise on fellow whistleblowers to come forward, and on other nations to reveal their own intelligence on the matter. And on to the next section. This is called The Five Observables and the Propulsion Debate. What we call unidentified flying objects are neither objects nor flying, writes Vallée. He means that they do not exhibit the recognized characteristics of material things or of aviation. They can dematerialize, and they violate the laws of motion as we know them, he said. Luis Elizondo, a former US Army counterintelligence special agent with inside information, enumerates these violations of known physics. Number 1. Instantaneous acceleration. Objects moving in such a manner that they are capable of maneuvering suddenly, deliberately, and sometimes in the opposite direction. In some cases, these maneuvers involve a change in direction and acceleration that is well beyond the healthy limitations of any biological system that we are aware of. The anticipated effects of these G-forces on material may even defy our current technological ability to manufacture. Number 2. Hypersonic velocities without signatures. Objects that are travelling well above supersonic speeds and yet leave no obvious signature behind. Specific signatures normally include acoustic, heat, and electromagnetic, and are traditionally recognised as a sonic boom, vapour contrails, and atmospheric ionisation. Currently, even the world's most advanced military and reconnaissance aircraft produce detectable signatures. Number 3. Low observability. Objects being viewed electro-optically, electromagnetically, or through the naked eye are difficult to see or visually document. Descriptions by witnesses are often confusing, while radar signals often come back nonsensical or even jammed. Objects generally appear opaque and semi-metallic in nature, but sometimes also insubstantial or translucent. Number 4. transmedium travel. Objects that have the ability to travel easily in various environments and conditions, seemingly without any change in performance capabilities. Our current understanding of physics requires vehicles to be designed specifically according to their application. For this reason, there are stark differences between those vehicles that orbit in space, fly in the atmosphere, and travel in water. Objects that can travel in all three mediums using the same design and without compromising performance or degrading lift remain an enigma. Number 5. Positive lift. Objects that are apparently resisting or neutralizing the natural effect of Earth's gravity, yet without the normally associated aerodynamic means for lift and thrust. These objects have no obvious signs of propulsion, engines, propellers, exhaust plumes, etc., or flight surfaces like wings, rudders, ailerons, fins, etc., yet they are able to move in a very precise manner in our atmosphere. In the famous 2004 Tic Tac incident, pilot David Fravor told CBS 60 Minutes that he and Lieutenant Commander Alex Dietrich were training with the Nimitz Carrier Strike Group about 100 miles southwest of San Diego. At the time, advanced radar on a ship that was part of their training group, the USS Princeton, detected what operators called multiple anomalous aerial vehicles over the horizon, descending 80,000 feet in less than a second. Fravor spotted an object that seemed to be about the size of his Hornet jet, with no markings or wings and no exhaust plumes. When he tried to cut off the UAP, it accelerated so quickly that it seemed to disappear. He said it was detected on radar roughly 60 miles away less than a minute later. For the past 80 years, top aeronautics specialists, theoretical physicists, and materials scientists have thrown themselves into solving the problem of this kind of surreal maneuverability, striving to comprehend the technology involved and perhaps even to emulate it. In 1989, Bob Lazar, a controversial figure then and now, publicly claimed to have worked on reverse engineering a recovered non-human vehicle at a secret site called S4, affiliated with Area 51 in southern Nevada. He shared drawings of so-called gravity emitters, which create around the craft an autonomous gravitational field out of phase with and immune to the Earth's. Lazar's trustworthiness aside, this neutralizing or offsetting of planetary gravity remains the principal goal of all such reverse engineering projects, both in the US and internationally. In order to perform as they do, UAPs would need to locally manipulate the fabric of space-time itself, warping it into a sort of enveloping bubble and sealing itself off from the effects of both gravity and friction. The resulting warp drive would allow the environmentally sequestered vehicle to levitate without upward thrust, travel by modulating its private gravity, and thus effectively falling in the desired direction, even if that would be up from our perspective. It would avoid drag effects either in the atmosphere or underwater, accelerate and stop on a dime without inflicting any g-forces on its structure or occupants, and execute right-angle turns, loops, or even instant straight-line reversals with zero centrifugal issues. Shape-shifting tricksters, even when they're not executing impossible aerial and underwater maneuvers, UAPs often change form in a matter of seconds. Longtime researcher and author Linda Moulton Howe relates that a scientist from Sandia Labs in Albuquerque, New Mexico, told me that he was driving parallel to a train track when he saw what looked like two boxcars parked on the track. Suddenly they rose straight up and sped off into the sky. Such accounts abound. History is replete with them, as found in Vallée's many books. Transformations occur today too, right before our eyes and camera lenses, forcing the inescapable conclusion that what we're dealing with, although objectively physical, sometimes witnessed by large crowds and filmed or photographed, is far trickier and more malleable than we normally mean by solid matter. Okay, so this week I was reading from Christopher Knowles' book, UAPs and the Afterlife, How New Disclosures Support Centuries of Psychic and Spiritual Research. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And a great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $5 a month, you get an extended episode every week. For $2 a month, you get an extended episode every month. Just go to patreon.com/AlienUFOPodcast. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.